first, then we'll go to Matthew 7. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us this way tonight and how good He has been to us. I hope you had a great Lord's Day today. I hope the Lord blessed you. If nothing else, I hope He blessed you with either a nap or a dinner, one or the other. One out of two ain't bad, right? Amen. Psalm 11. As we start over in Psalm 11, we'll head to Matthew 7 right afterwards. And keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at some scripture tonight to help us out. The Bible says in Psalm 11, "In the Lord I put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." That's what the devil's after, right? He's not after the people that's lost. He's got them. They're His people. The Bible said they got a spirit in them that works, that spirit that works in the children of disobedience. They've already got that. He's already got them. He moves them around like pawns on a chessboard. And if you know anything about chess, the pawn is the one that can only move one at a time. And there's more pawns than there are kings. Although we think we all kings, really we all pawns. There's one king, that's the Lord. But if you of the devil, that's your king. And I'm fixed to talk bad about your king. The Bible says in verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to preach to you tonight on the foundations the devil attacks. If you know what they are, you might could guard against them. You could ask the Lord to help you with this. And I believe it would be something that would help us all out tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you. We thank you, God, for being in the house of God tonight. Lord, we see your word said that the foundations be destroyed. It literally asks us, what can the righteous do? Lord, the only thing we can do, Lord, is hide ourselves in you and walk in Christ and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Lord, not try to take on the devil head on, but let you take him on, God, because you're the only one that can contend with him. And Lord, pray right now, God, that you'll do a great work. Be with us during this time, Lord, preaching. God, help me as I preach tonight. Anoint me and help me to preach what thus saith the Lord without fear, favor, or compromise. I pray, God, for every listening ear on this message, God, that you'll help them tonight, Lord, if they're saved. God, that you'll bless them, help them, strengthen them, encourage them, and do a work in their lives for the lost that they'll get saved, Lord. And we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. The devil, according to Jesus Christ, is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Every time I hear that somebody has been killed, I know who was involved in that thing, regardless of who said what happened. But I notice this, he points out that if the foundations, plural, be destroyed. I studied something this week about a foundation. A foundation, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, we'll come back to Psalm 11 here in a second. A foundation is built for some things, and one of the things it's built for is strength. It is to provide some kind of strength. It's also built for stability, so there'll be something stable to stand on. And it's also built for storms. And storms inevitably do come. No matter what you think, no matter how cute you are, storms will come in your life. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, so the storms come to everybody. But if you're a believer tonight, listen, the storms come, but Christ is there with you through the storm. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." You might want to make you a note there beside that word doeth, at James chapter 1, verse 22, I believe it is over there. Verse 21, 22, about being doers of the word of God. He said, "That these sayings of mine doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And the Bible says about that rock, it said, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Strength, stability, and storms. The foundation was there for strength. The stability is there to be able to stand, and when the storm come, nothing moved. Strength, stability, and storms. And that's what Christ said. If we take this book and we apply this book to our lives and we start living for Him according to what He said, and we walk in Him and we follow Him and fellowship with Him, He said that all them storms are going to come, no doubt. He said, but guess what? We'll make it. Don't know how we're going to make it, we're going to make it. But He said, verse 26 there, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Same storm, Same description, same everything, but the foundation had been taken away. They were building on the wrong kind of foundation.
Right.
I've seen these liberals try to build on these foundations, and it don't work.
Right.
When they start building on their foundations, the first thing they holler is, you know, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't help you, and we can't do this, and we can't do that. I mean, it's like, I thought you guys were the cream of the crop, and all of a sudden you can't.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. There was a Southern Baptist preacher near here said this the other week, and I'm going to quote him, and I'm going to tell you something the Bible says, okay? He said that the reason churches are independent is because we just don't want to join the association and pay our little money to them because we don't see that we can get nothing out of it.
Huh.
I got news for him and 10 like him. You listen to me very carefully. I'm not independent Baptist because I don't want to pay that crowd no money. I'm not an independent Baptist because my mama and my grandparents and their grandparents were independent Baptists. I'm not an independent Baptist tonight because I thought, you know, this would make us more money this way. I'm an independent Baptist because in 1999 I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That crowd's getting liberal. He said, get out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. I done that because I loved him. That's what he wanted for Victory Baptist Church. I stand by that. Now let me point something else out to you. As soon as you go to get out of that crowd, they'll tell you this. Well, if times get hard, we can't help you. Hey, you weren't helping us before. So in other words, if we independents because we don't want to be part of it, and we don't see any benefit for us, but yet the first thing we get out of it, you say that we can't benefit you no more. I'm going to tell you what an Indian told me one time about people like that. He said, white man speaketh with forked tongue.
Yeah.
Unapologetically, straight, white, independent Baptist male right here.
Right.
Amen. You can go out, listen, you can go off and kiss Rock Hudson, you can go off and join your denominations and do all you want to. I'll stay with where the Lord's got me no matter what the storm comes.
Right.
We'll be in a storm, but you know what? It's going to be okay. Why? Who's in the storm? What are you building on? See, the devil tried to attack them foundations. He'll blow all these foundations out from under you. That way when the storm comes, when it washes away, you wash away.
Yeah.
Y'all like it when I get mean about this stuff, don't you?
I can tell.
If you'll notice tonight, if you look over in John chapter 14, we'll start here in John 14. I'm going to show you some foundations the devil attacks. And if you ain't got these foundations, he'll knock you out of the saddle. John chapter 14. John 14. John chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus Christ speaking says, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And of course, here's Thomas. He said, Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, Christ could have said, you big dummy, you've been with me this whole time, and you don't know the way, but he said this instead. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He just gave you a threefold aspect of being saved. Threefold. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The first foundation that the devil attack is the foundation of the Savior. He'll try to point out to you that historically Jesus got married, and historically they found his bones in some stone box over there in Tel Aviv. He'll try to tell you that Jesus had 10 wives and that all this other stuff, and that they found his body in Rome and the Catholic Church. He'll tell you anything to get you off the biblical Jesus. I know a lot of folks have pictures of Jesus in their house and they think it's a picture of Jesus, but really it's some long-haired Italian. He was Jewish, by the way. He is a Jew. He's still a Jew.
Right.
And they think that is Jesus. Here's Jesus right here. The way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
I notice he said, I'm the way. That means if we're going to go to heaven at all, we got to build on his foundation. That foundation's Calvary, where he suffered, bled, and died for our sins. And the devil will try to say, no. You can go some other way. You can be a Buddhist, or you can be a Muslim, or you can be a Jew, or a Jehovah's Witness, or whatever else. All roads lead to heaven. No. All roads lead to God, but all roads do not lead to heaven.
Right.
And let me explain that for you. You die on any of them other roads, you get to see God. You get to see him in judgment right before you get cast in the lake of fire forever. Right. Death, hell, and the grave will give their self up to the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll face God face to face. You'll be tried for all your sins in your life and cast in the lake of fire eternally. All roads do lead to God, but only one road leads to heaven. That's that road that's called the way.
Yeah.
And listen, every time Paul and him got over there, the disciples, they kept talking about, they speak of the way. They speak of that way and all this other stuff, trying to demean the way they said it. Hey, listen, I know the way is the right way. It's the right way. It's the right foundation to build on. I'm going to tell you why. When you rest on him and what he's done for your salvation, that's when the Holy Spirit of God comforts you when you get under attack from the devil. Because you know this, you've got a foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ that cannot be moved. When he comes along and says, well, you know, Jesus was just a man like everybody else. Oh, no, honey. He was God manifest in the flesh according to this book right here. And when you read the Word of God and you start seeing things like that, you may not be so sure yourself, but you're sure of this. When he done the saving, he saved. That's the foundation of the Savior. He said, I am the way, the truth. I like how he says up here, always underlined places like this, if it were not so, I would have told you. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the God that cannot lie. I like him because he's always told the truth.
Amen.
I wish I could say all my life I've always just told the truth and all this other stuff, and I'm afraid I didn't. Sinned and come short of the glory of God, but I know this, he didn't. If it were not so, he would have told us. If there had been any other way, he'd have told us that way. He'd have gave us option. But he said, I am the way and I am the truth. I like standing behind him by what he says. I noticed when he lived his earthly life here, he sinned not. When Pilate looked at him, he said, I find no fault in this man. I looked back and studied myself. I find no fault in him either. That's one thing Pilate got right. I mean, listen, a blind hog will find a nut in the mush pile every once in a while. I'm going to tell you something. Listen, the foundation of the Savior, the devil tries to attack that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Watch this. He said, I am the life. Everything outside of living with Christ and him living his fullness through you is going to be a wreck. It's going to be a disaster. It's going to be uncontrolled sorrow and everything else that goes with that. And there's no comfort there. There's no power there. And there's no joy there. But when we walk in him, hey, we got the life. You ever heard somebody say, I want to lead a Christian life? Listen, I tried leading a Christian life. It didn't work out too good. I'm going to tell you what I did find, though. If I let him do all the living, I didn't do all the enjoying. Why? Rain's going to come anyway. Flood's going to come anyway. Storm's coming anyway. But I got that foundation there. That foundation has the way, the truth, and the life in the person of Jesus Christ. Why does the devil want to attack that? If he can get you to get your eyes off Jesus, he'll take that foundation right out from under you. You may die saved, but you'll die miserable.
Come on.
He'll try to attack that foundation, especially in the life of a lost person. I've often read in the parables and stuff where there's this bird that keeps coming and snatching up that seed every time it's planted. That thing's that old devil.
Yeah.
You know, we bring sinners into the house of God, want them to hear the word of God, want them to get saved. They get out in the parking lot and the devil robs them right there in the parking lot. Or some Hank comes up and says, well, you know what the preacher said today? I know what you are. You that little black raven that comes swooping in there and trying to steal that seed out of that person's heart.
Come on.
Amen. Can I get a witness? Listen, I see right there in the Bible, studying the Bible, the devil, he tries to attack that foundation. He tries to steal that. You walk out of here shouting, that phone rings when you get in the parking lot, and Lord have mercy. And you think, Lord, where are you? I'm telling you where the Lord was at. He's there with you.
Yeah.
Somebody's trying to attack that foundation of the Savior, trying to steal that thing from you. Let's look over 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I might know what I'm talking about. You ought to listen tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This ain't coming from being in the ministry 6 months. I mean, I've seen this stuff all my life and then saw it for the last 20 years too. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. He'll try to attack this stuff. He'll try to take it from you. But I'm going to tell you something. If you guard these things, guard your testimony, if you hide yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never have a problem. You'll have attacks, but you won't have problems. Listen to me. Foundation of the Scriptures is what else he's after. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he wants to take away the Scriptures from you. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And all the study Bibles and all the commentators and all the liberals will all get together. No matter what they call themselves, a liberal if they don't believe this. They'll look at that all Scripture say, and they'll read that. And in their minds they hear, and out of their mouth comes the original manuscripts.
Yeah.
Only the original manuscripts are given an inspiration. Only original, and they'll say that to themselves. They'll tell their congregations that. They'll teach their Sunday school class that. And somehow or another we find out that we're worshiping a set of papers that no longer exist anywhere on planet Earth that allegedly contain the right Word of God. And we don't have the right Word of God. All Scripture. Not all versions. All Scripture. Now, in these same books that'll say this, to keep you out of the cults, they'll say, please study the verses in context, the verses before it, the verses after. If you're going to study the chapter before it and the chapter after it. And that information's right. You need to do that. Because if not, you'll be baptizing dead people for the Mormons. That isn't the Bible. It's just taken out of context by the cults. Every works-based salvation cult that you know, whether it's a Campbellite, Russellite, or whatever, every one of them takes verses out of context to try to work their way to heaven. If you read the verses right before, right after, just plain what's there. But when you pick and choose like that, you can get yourself in a real mess. You can get yourself in a mess with God by taking that verse 16 out of context. You can't take John 3:16 out of context, much less 2 Timothy 3:16. Now let's take this thing in context. We see verse 16 says all Scripture. Look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's the verse before it. The verse after it, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now let's look at verse 16 again. All Scripture. You mean even that copy, Timothy's mother Lois and grandmother Eunice, the one they had in their home. You mean he didn't have the Word of God? It says here he did. It didn't just say Scripture in verse 15. It said Holy Scriptures. If you read Jeremiah 51, you know God told Jeremiah to throw away that second copy he made of Jeremiah.
Yep.
But yet, you got a complete Jeremiah. And you got every word of it if you got a King James Bible, because it's Scriptures. Holy Scriptures. Taken in context here, God preserves the Word of God. Always has. You say, well, it may be preserved, it's not inspired. Correction. You don't know what inspiration means. Because if you understand the word inspiration, listen, you got the word spirit is the root word. And it don't mean wind. One time in the Bible, the word spirit refers to wind. 81 times it refers to the Spirit of God. That Greek word pneuma. Sounds like the evidence means that every time you see pneuma, you see Spirit of God. One time you see it, he moves like wind. But this don't mean that, listen to this, that only what God breathes is inspired. If God ever breathed it, it's still inspired. And because God breathed it, it can be preserved. What about that? You say you got any Bible verses on that? Sure do. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 10. Psalm 100, verse 5. 119, verse 89. 140 and 152 and 160. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Matthew 5, 18. Chapter 24, verse 35. Luke 16, 17. John 10, 35. And 1 Peter 1, verse 23 and 25, just to start with. And we get back over there in the Psalms where we was at. If you look back over there, Psalm 12, very next thing, verse 1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail among the children of men. I got a new slash for you. We're not in time of revival. We're in time of apostasy. Why? The faithful men are failing. What does that let us know? Verse 6. Even that happened. Verse 6 of Psalm 12. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I'm glad that somehow or another God was smart enough to understand that he couldn't trust us with the Bible, so he made sure it got to us. You say, what would happen if people would have done it? Here's what would have happened. Luke Skywalker would have blown up the Death Star in Revelation. That's what would have happened if men controlled the Bible. We wouldn't have had no outside help. We'd had this mystical force helping us right at the only time we need it and all this other stuff. But because God wrote the book, I see somebody coming back on a horse. He don't blow it up. He takes it back over like he said he would. Rules and reigns 1,000 years. Then brings judgment here. Destroys the thing with fire just like he said he would. And then makes a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Because the devil ain't walked on them. Isn't that something? Holy God with a holy earth and a holy heaven. How about that? I see that when we get to looking at the seven languages of God's Word, one thing is clearly missed is this. is number one. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew. It's called the Old Testament. And there were parts of it written in Aramaic and Daniel. So we got the Hebrew and Aramaic scriptures there. And then when he come along to do the New Testament, it was written entirely in Greek. There's a cult that teaches these books could have been written in Hebrew and later translated to Greek. Cult, C-U-L-T. That means they're heretic and they're not of the faith.
Right.
I had somebody try to tell me, well, you know, them were Jews. Hey, can I let you in on something? The street language wasn't Hebrew at that time.
Right.
And it wasn't Greek either.
Come on.
You know why? Because the Romans ruled the day. I promise you this, when Pilate spoke to them, he didn't speak to them in their nasty Hebrew tongue. He didn't like them.
Right.
He was a Roman. Wonder what language they speak. Would it be Latin at that time? Because remember, they made an inscription above the cross that was in what, three languages? Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Guess which one was on top when he wrote it? Mm-hmm. Here's another funny one. Since he said it in Latin, and the writers of the Bible and the Gospels wrote it down, they wrote it down under inspiration, they had to translate that Latin to Greek. That would be an inspired translation right there. Isn't that a sight? Well, ain't no inspired translations. There's about 15. You better watch what you say about the book. You keep messing with this book, God will mess with your head.
Right.
So he write that thing down. He put it down there. But I see that God's word came out in Greek for the New Testament. And here's why. God showed us an example clearly back then that he used a dead language to bring it to modern terms.
Right.
Just like that King James English is very precise. It's the most precise form of English. 200 years dead when he said, okay, boys, we're going to bring her to English, and I want you to do it with this language.
Right.
It wasn't no mistake the ye's, these, and thou are in the right place because they properly translate every word of God. We've got a verbally, plenary, inspired, kept forever by God Bible right here with every word still intact.
Amen.
Ain't that something? So how'd you learn all that? By not listening to that bunch of liberals.
Right.
I had to go to school with them and listen to them there. I ain't going to keep listening to them all my life. Listen, I ain't letting my schooling get in the way of my learning is what I'm telling you.
Amen.
I noticed this. If you go into school with the Bible and you come out with 12, you need to fire that crowd.
Yeah.
They're killing our churches. Help, Lord, the godly man sees this. Why is that? Well, honey, we can correct the Bible. If we can correct the Bible, we ain't going to read it at the house.
Right.
But see, he brought along the thing number three in Greek. Then the next time it came out, it went out in Syriac. Then it became in Latin around the 4th century. Then German in the 13th and 14th century. And 16th century, English. Seventh language, purified seven times. You say, well, you always evolved up between blah, blah, blah. Listen, that sounds just like the devil. Always want to question the Bible. How do you know that God said that? Yea, hath God said? But since you asked, devil, I'll go ahead and give you something right quick about the foundation of the scriptures. The first English Bible, no doubt, was the Tyndale Bible. Not Wycliffe, Tyndale. Tyndale stayed with the text. And he wanted to get a Bible that could be put out there in the hands of people where we could find out that great whore, Revelation 17 and 18, was pulling the wool over our eyes. And listen, by the way, they still would do that if they were the dominant religion in this country. They'd do it right now if they could. Every country where they run the thing, people get killed without trials. Still do. Every country where they're the state religion, the government's corrupt. How'd that happen? So we don't have that here. First Catholic president was Kennedy. Remember I told you about him this morning? Isn't that something? Somebody was worried the other day. They said, well, you know, if that Trump guy gets elected, he's been divorced before. Oh, my. But by the way, Ronald Reagan wasn't. He about fixed this country when he was in office.
Amen.
Amen, friend. We're not trying to elect a deacon. We're trying to elect a president here. Listen to this. I see in the Bible, listen, as we study the Bible, the first English Bible is Tyndale. Then a few years later, he wrote under another name, and they come out with this called the Coverdale. And then after that, the Matthew's Bible of 1537, the Great Bible of 1539, the Geneva of 1560, the Bishops of 1568. And the number seven complete English Bible was the 1611 Authorized Version that you have a 1769 edition with every word the same as it was then.
Right.
Well, if you had that thing, you couldn't read it. Here's one. Come up here and read it tonight at church.
Amen. Yeah.
You can read it. Only thing you got to do is discern a couple of fonts back and forth, and that's it. You can figure it out in a second. You don't even have to go to class on it. You can figure it out like that just by looking at it. You know why? Because that book's powerful. This book's powerful. God's word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why does the devil want to attack that? Because every answer you need is right here. He wants to get that off the table where you have no answers, and you walk around clueless. Amen. I notice as we keep looking at this thing, we've got the foundation of the Savior he attacks. He attacks the foundation of the Scriptures. He also attacks another foundation. Look over Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. Here's what he's after. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, look down at verse 19. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God said, take a bath before you go to church. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I've heard people try to argue this thing all my life, and I keep finding where he says, take a bath before you go to the house of God. Here's why I say it's for the house of God. All this is before you get to church. He says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How are we going to do that, Lord? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's after the foundation of the sanctuary. My favorite quote from anybody that's backslid on God, when I hear him say it, I know they're backslid. Well, I'd have church anywhere. That's what they say. You know what the devil's after? The sanctuary. He's out to make it, listen, he's out to close down the sanctuary and have a nightclub back there in the gym. Go look at all you modern churches. Tell me what happened.
Come on.
And then the dummies can't even name a gym, right? They call it a family life center. It's a gym.
That's right.
Think about it. I mean, the NBA ain't that stupid.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a gym. If it waddles and quacks, it's a duck. If it has basketball goals, it's a gym. Okay? I don't know how much more. Listen, when I used to go to wrestling sometimes in these smaller places, they'd have two basketball goals. They said, we're going to have it in such and such gym. If they'd said, we're going to go down and have wrestling in the Family Life Center, I wouldn't know where to start looking.
Come on.
Amen, friend. Listen.
Amen.
I see that he tries to attack the foundation of the sanctuary. He don't want you to have a place set apart where you can come worship God three times a week and pray and everything else. He don't want you to have a sanctuary. He wants you to have an auditorium with a foyer or a foyer. No, we got a sanctuary. Here's the backslider's quote. The other one, here's the other one. Well, God says, I'm the sanctuary. The sanctuary's here, and without the people, there is no church. Hey, dummy, listen to me very carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that thou knowest how to behave thyself in the house of God.
Right.
New Testament church epistle written to a pastor in the house of God.
Right.
Yes, we are the church. We are the visible body of Christ. We're not invisible. We're visible. I can see you. You can see me. But catch this. We all meet together for a place, just like they did in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, on the first day of the week. We meet in the evenings of that day, like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 8 in the evening when he taught the people. We get together and have this thing, and we call it a church service. And we have it in a church sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place that's been set apart, sanctified, sanctuary. Get them things together. It's been set apart for the Lord. Listen, in this church house, listen, there's a reason why we don't do certain things in the church house. You know why? It's a sanctuary. It's set apart.
Amen.
I've heard people try to justify every manner of sin under the sun why they can't come to church. I went deer hunting with this guy one time, and I got up there in that deer stand. We climbed up there and had a rifle ready to take that thing out. And I looked around. I said, where's the hymn books at? He said, hymn books? I said, yeah, I've been hearing how we worship God in a tree stand. We're going to have worship. We've got to have a song book. I said, where's the pulpit at? We're standing on it right now. Somebody's got to lead the singing. Somebody's got to preach. You want to do one, I'll do the other. But either way, we'll do either one. He said, I'm afraid them people lies about that.
Come on.
And then he said this, you got to be quiet out here. Now think about it. If you got to be quiet out there, you can't say amen out there. Is that right?
Right.
I'm not knocking deer hunting. I love deer meat and deer horns and everything else. I love all that stuff. But I'm telling you, that ain't the place where you worship the Lord. This
right.
is.
Right.
Now, get this. If the devil's trying to attack something, he's trying to attack you from getting to where God set apart a place for you to come worship at.
Yeah.
Follow me carefully. What is the hardest day of the week to get to church? Whenever we have in church. Say, well, Mondays ain't too bad. Wait, we call a revival meeting. You'll find out.
Yeah.
You'll find out. Listen, I got a person in my life that, bless their heart, they can't call me but when I'm in church. I always make sure my phone's turned off because they always call. Why is that? I don't know. But I know this. I'd be preaching on the bottom side of Georgia out there where I barely got a cell signal, can't ever call when I want to call, but I'd be up preaching. Boy, I'd feel that phone start vibrating out before I even look at it. I know who it is. Well-intended fun here, but I mean, it's just odd. Place I can't even get signal, and all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call. How'd that happen? Somebody's wanting to get in between me and that sanctuary. Wanting to disrupt things, wanting to interrupt the house of God, interrupt the church service, interrupt me getting there. If I'm ever going to have car trouble, it's not going to be on Friday afternoon. It's going to be on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I remember coming to church one night and when I had that Mercury, and I come down through there and I saw what looked to be a railroad tie in the road as soon as I hit it. I never realized how valuable those little old aluminum rims are on the side of that car. The wheels there, and they only had 25 in America left when I wrecked, and then now there's only 23, unless somebody else is wrecked. What happened? I don't know. Somebody got in my way trying to get to the sanctuary. He laid something out there for me. Who would have done that? Wasn't one of y'all, was it? You ain't lost no railroad ties, have you? And just to beat all, I had to walk back to the top of the hill because I couldn't get no cell phone service. Just right over there. How'd that happen? I don't know, but I know who was behind it. He's trying to destroy the foundation of the sanctuary. Why does the devil get in churches trying to disrupt them? He's trying to destroy the foundation of the sanctuary. He wants to get you out of the sanctuary. He wants to get you in some religious outfit to tell you it's okay to drink, fornicate, and everything else. That's what he's wanting you to do.
Yeah.
He don't want you to get in the sanctuary that's set apart for worship of God, because that means you won't be worshiping him, and he don't like it.
Right.
He's out to attack that thing. Not only attack the Savior, the Scriptures, the sanctuary. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. Take a left more yet. Philippians chapter 4. He's out to steal. He's out to kill. He's out to destroy. He's out for the foundations is what he's after. He's just out for the foundations is all. In Philippians chapter 4, if you look down at verse number 6, he's out for this foundation. And the foundation is called supplication. He says here, be careful, verse 6, Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's out for that foundation of supplication. You pray. And you ask God, and you ask God behalf of yourself. You ask God to do things for others that don't even know how to ask for it. I mean, you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And what's the devil try to do? Keep you out of the prayer closet.
Yeah.
Just keep you out of the prayer closet. It sounds so simple, but here's what he'll do. He'll know what's coming up and think, you know, I'm fixing to do something over here, but if they pray, I'll be defenseless. So what I'll do is, I'll attack their prayer life. You ever wonder why your alarm clock don't go off sometimes? You ever wonder sometimes when you don't hear your alarm clock? It could be two reasons. Number one, you didn't go to bed the night before like you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. Or number two, there may be somebody sitting there with their fingers in your ear going at you while you're missing it. Now you ain't going to have time to pray before you get up and go out and start your day.
Well,
how's that happen? He's out to attack that foundation. He's out to take it away. You know why? He's already seen the storm coming. So he's going to try to get you from not praying to keep that storm back, or to the foundation. He takes away that foundation of supplication. That thing might wreck your life. All it takes is one letdown. And prayer is where all our failures are. We fail to pray. All our failures are failures to pray.
Wow.
Had a man write that down for me one time, hand it to me. He said, there's all your problems right there. And boy, he is dead on it. All our failures are failures to pray. All we got to do is trust God. All we got to do is believe God. All we got to do is wait on God. And the best place to wait is that prayer closet, and the devil knows it. What? Look, what is it? Who's calling, honey? Well, I guess I'll have to take it, but I got to get to my prayer closet. And then you get on the phone, you can't get off for an hour and a half later. And that's when you finally say, wait a minute, I need to say something. What, was you trying to say something? Yeah, I need to take care of something. Hour and a half gone. Then all of a sudden look at the time, it's like, well, I can't pray now. Don't let the devil use you like that in somebody's life.
Right.
Listen, the devil wants to take that foundation of supplication. He wants to take away your prayer life. You say, well, I just feel like my prayer is hitting the ceiling. Honey, that's the devil telling you that.
Right.
According to Hebrews chapter 10, we read it over there, we got a new and living way in Jesus Christ. We pass through that veil, which is say is His flesh. And we come to Him, and we come boldly to the throne of grace, not because we're going to command God, but because we got access to Him through that most holy place, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't matter how you feel, your prayers are going, they're going. You confess your sins, you keep them fessed up to date with the Lord. I promise you, everything you're saying is going right into the throne room of heaven, whether you feel like it or not. You say, well, why is it I don't feel like it sometimes? Because that's the devil. He wants you to think you've got to operate on feelings.
Wow.
He attacks everybody through that. You say, I don't believe it. Look at all these men acting like drama queens on Facebook and tell me they're not operating on their feelings.
Wow.
Tell me. Go ahead and tell me that one.
Maybe.
Go ahead and tell me how you walk out here and you see these people talking about these big grown men, it could take out an entire legion of men fighting one-on-one. Well, that preacher hurt my feelings. I ain't never going back to church. Tell me again how the devil don't try to use your feelings against you.
Yep.
I see that somehow, in some way, he tries to take the attack of that foundation of supplication. I heard this old-time preacher say on this tape I heard a while ago. He made a statement. He said that he was so old that he can remember back when having a church organ was the harlot of Revelation 17, 18. That was the Antichrist bringing in some kind of electronic instrument like that. He said he remembered back when the sign of the apocalypse and the apostasy was carpet on a church floor and padded pews. And then he gave a story how when they went to buy a church organ one time, he said that he had a man in his church get together with a bunch of people, and they were going to come to one last service and going to stand up and walk out because they was buying that electronic instrument to bring in the house of God. Now you got to keep in mind, during this same time, the bathrooms wasn't at the end of the hall as at the end of the path. He said this. He said, I got up and preached on the Bible where it said, praise Him on the organ. He said, I know that ain't an electronic organ. He said, but I preached it that way anyway. He said, that old fella didn't walk out. He walked the aisle and come down there and got right with God. He said, I didn't know that was in the Bible. He said, it's in the Bible. Unless you're a liberal, you got to believe it. And he said, that man got right with God, me and the church and everybody. It's amazing some of the things God will sneak in that prayer closet and give you to fight the devil with, ain't it?
Yeah.
He'll take away that foundation of supplication. You won't know what to do. Look over at verse 19. Philippians 4:19. Here's the verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He gets the foundation of the Savior out of the way. He make you doubt your own salvation. He takes away the foundation of Scriptures. If He attacks that, storms are coming. You won't have no instruction how to deal with a storm. He takes away the foundation of the sanctuary. You lose your prayer partners in your life, your church folks and stuff like that. He's got you isolated and alone. He takes away the foundation of supplication. He even gets you private prayer life. He'll even go after this one right here. He'll take out the foundation of supply. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall... My God shall. Not your God, my God. Because Sam, I know it's your God too, but when I need it, I need my God to show me.
Amen.
And when you go through rough spots in life, that's when God shows up and shows you. Not in the good times. You go read the book of Judges, every time it was in prosperity, they went into judgment. But when they got down on their face and said, Lord, get us out of this, He did. Every time. I see in New Testament of Christianity right here, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I like that. I just plumb like that. I'm going to tell you why. That's where the devil's going to try to attack. He's going to try to attack the supply, because when you need it, the devil's going to be the first one to say, God ain't going to do that for you. He'll do it for Red. He'll do it for Philip. He'll do it for Ronnie. He ain't going to do it for you. He'll do it for Debbie. He'll do it for Mary. He ain't going to do it for you. And rather than carry on a conversation with the devil, ignore him.
Yeah.
Flee in Christ Jesus and get away from him. We were speaking a while ago about that. The archangel said, the Lord rebuke you.
Right.
Archangel, listen, could do things that you and I possibly no way could we could do. He didn't even feel. He said, Lord rebuke you. See, the devil will step over bigger than you to go cause trouble. But on the way stepping over you, he'll say, there ain't no supply. God ain't going to help you. And he'll step over and go on. And then what's the bad is you believe him and you won't believe God.
Yeah.
You're not called a Devellian, you're called a Christian.
Right.
Okay? You fall in the wrong crowd. Don't walk in doubt, walk in faith.
Right.
As we look in the scriptures, I find this out. If he shall supply, I shall receive.
Yeah.
Let's be a charismatic church. I shall receive. You say that. I shall receive. Amen. Listen. I noticed that because he's going to supply the need may not be what I want secularly, but it'll be all my spiritual needs at that moment. My God shall supply all your need. Now listen, that don't tell you to go out on Saturday night and blow all your money on bingo and poker machines and say, God, I need money for gas this week.
Right.
You might find yourself walking. God be back in the teaching business with you on that one. Are we got any lottery players in here? Somebody under conviction or something? Boy, I preached against the lottery 10 years ago when they was wanting to vote on it. Everybody shout. Now it's like, yeah, I see them looks, man. I can tell. But the devil tries to attack the foundation of supply. You know what he wants you to get away from that? Because he wants you to think God doesn't love you. He don't care about you. He won't do that for you, but yet he will do it. He'll do every time. There's never been a time you look back in life and say, God failed me. Not one time.
Right.
Only liars will say that.
Right.
And they have their father the devil.
Right.
I look back on stuff that God's done. I thought, man, you know, looking back on that, if I'd have got it back here, I wouldn't have needed it here. And it wouldn't have been, God wouldn't have got the glory back there like he got when he got over here.
Yeah.
There used to be an evangelist who'd go around. And I think his name was Junior Hill. And you know how you fellas keep money folded up and hid in your wallet? I know y'all, you don't want your wife to know that, but he always kept him a $100 bill, and it's what he called his secret place in his wallet. He said that $100 bill is never to be spent, but it's always to be given away. He said the Lord started teaching this about 40 years prior to this. He said no matter where he went, if he got in a place, and God said, give that to, and pointed at anybody in that crowd, he said, I done learned, just go give it to him, because before I left, I'm going to get that $100 back. He said, for the last 40 years, I've never been broke. I've always had $100. He said, and I'd come up on times, I'd want to get that $100 bill out. God said, no, I'll send it some other way, but you give that $100 bill such and such. You know how much you get back? $100. Every time. Every time. He said, if I needed gas money, I'd go into a place and think, well, I got that $100 bill. I come here on empty. I want to preach rough this crowd. I need an offering to get back out of here. Lord God said, preach rough anyway. Oh, and while you're there, give it to that guy right there. So there he is, broke, fixing to get up and preach a red hot message. He's going to make everybody, including the song leader, mad. And as he goes to walk out the door, somebody gives him $100 back. Every time. He said, I finally learned this thing. God can.
Yep.
You need to learn this. God can. He always shows up right at the right time. Listen, when we get put through tests, sometimes it's just so God can show you he's God. The devil's going to say, oh, you ain't going to make it. Yeah, you will. You know why? He said, you shall. My God shall.
Right.
He didn't say he'd supply Cadillacs, but he said he'd supply your need.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather drive around a beat-up Pinto in the will of God than a Cadillac outside the will of God, a brand-new Cadillac.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? Listen, yeah. I would rather be in a beat-down S10 pickup than be in a brand-new four-wheel drive with them big old things and a General Lee on the side of it. And be out of the will of God over here. I'd rather be in this one, in the will of God.
Yeah.
There was a time and place in my wife's life. We look back, and honey, I'll never forget this. We had a van that wouldn't stay running past 3 days. Every 3 days something happened to it. It's called an 86 Dodge Caravan. That's the worst car in the world. We've had Dodge Caravans after it was like gold, but that one wasn't. Every time we got in it, we'd pray. I'm telling you. And I remember one night, Brother Herbert Guy owns Guy Construction. He come over here to church that night. Brother Carter was preaching. And Brother Carter said, well, we're going to go eat, and I'm going to take you out to eat. I said, okay, where are we going? He said, we're going to Quincy's Steakhouse. When I pulled up at Quincy's, it looked like my car was cheering for me. It was going, And all the water was coming out on the thing, and out the steam was coming out the top. Herbert Guy walked up and looked at that thing and said, "Pop your hood." And he had to sit there and modify my little hose going in the thing. He done blew it right there where it goes in at. I thought, Lord, I can't catch a break with this vehicle. I know that if I needed the van, I know the Lord wanted me to buy a Ford somewhere in there, I think, is what I was hearing. I don't know. Anyway, so we get that thing fixed. He does that, but I never get Brother Herbert doing that. And he put that thing back on there and said, "You know what?" He said, "I've never seen a car act like this. Me neither." But there's one thing that car kept doing. No matter how much it broke, we'd still get there. Not to modify certain things here on the side, put duct tape over the air conditioner, was blowing out green stuff at you and all that, but we'd get there. And then I remember this, coming into church that night, I was beat down over that vehicle, and I had some reprobates going to church here, and that boy, they was bragging on Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley's the greatest preacher on the side of the earth, and this, that, and the other, and he's just the best, and all this other stuff. I'll never forget Dr. Carter standing up at night preaching that if you die, it will not be Charles Stanley and the Lincoln that comes to your house. It'll be this preacher in that beat-up van. I said, "Amen." We didn't hear any more about Charles Stanley after that. I found out something. He'll supply your need. God's got a sense of humor because he wants to supply other people's need too. Yeah. There's a guy at a car lot praying. You know what he's praying for? Customers. That's what a salesman prays for. You know who came over and bought a car from him? I did. He worked for this car lot. I went in there and I put tape over everything that blew out that wasn't supposed to blow and everything else, tried to get that thing in there. And I didn't determine. I wasn't going to tell them how sorry that vehicle was if they couldn't figure it out themselves. But if they were to ask, I would tell them. Pulled up on that car lot, and the guy said, "Now, what you want to do here?" I said, "I want to trade this on something else." He said, "Why is that?" I said, "Well, me and my family need a four-door car." What I said. What was that car? Is a Chevrolet? A Corsica. I said, a Chevrolet Corsica. Out of all the cars on that lot, that was the best one there that day because it was God's will to buy that car. You know why? I never had to do nothing to it. I even got hit in the back one time that destroyed the Toyota and put a scratch on my bumper.
Like a rock.
Amen. Listen, I'll never forget that. But I got that car, and that guy said, "What about your trade?" I said, "It's right there if you want it. You're welcome to look at it, pop the hood, crank it up, do whatever you want to." I said, "But it ain't leaving with me. It's staying with you." He said, "The finance is approved. We're going to have payments." I said, "I don't care if the payments is $1,000 a day. That's your car right there. It's going with you." And he looked at that car and he said, "I think I put $300 on the paperwork, but really it's going to be about $100. I said, "I don't care if I have to pay you $100. It's your car now. It's going with you." And I got in that Chevrolet and he had sprayed some new car smell in there. And I got talking to him. Me and him realized something. He used to be the singer in that old band I used to play in. Wow, imagine God bringing you back together to try to witness somebody like that years down the road. He kept saying, "You look familiar, you look familiar." And I wasn't going to tell him who it was till after we made the deal. Because you tell them before, they might jack the price if they find out you're a preacher. I found that out. And one of the doctors around town said, "Don't ever sign a doctor on anything before you get the thing signed for, because a doctor makes it go up $10,000. He said, "I know you're a preacher, and y'all preachers don't make that much." I said, "You're right, brother." I said, "I'm glad for the advice. But see, God will supply."
Yeah.
He'll supply. So what happened to that car? Brother Kirst talked me into trading it in on something newer. It had a better stereo system. It was a Dodge, and it run great. And then when it died, we got us another Ford. When it died, we got that Honda. And you know what? God's always been right on time with them cars.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
And listen to this. I found out that he's the one that supplies. If I try to look for me to supply, God will take away everything I got to show me I ain't got nothing. And there's people in your life God's taken out of your life that you was leaning on. He'd take them out of the way. He'll either make you see what kind of all their human faults, even when they're not bad people. You just see all their human faults, and you say, "Man, I just can't do that." And now all of a sudden, you see all their human faults, you see all this other stuff, and you look at them and say, "Man, what am I going to do?" You're going to lean on the Lord. God will take every security blanket out of your hand, Linus. So you grab onto Jesus.
Right.
I find out that that's what God wants to do. Don't let the devil destroy these foundations in your life. Cling to Christ Jesus and cling to the things God's got for you. And listen, don't let them foundations be destroyed.
Amen.
Though the world be on fire, stand with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It'll be worth it. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for the time to be in the house of God. Pray, Lord God, tonight during this time of invitation, Lord, if there's anybody that the devil's attacking their foundations, God, I pray, Lord, you'd be with them and help them, Lord, and do a great work for us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed.